Praise the Lord. Let's all stand. Amen. Are you happy to be here today?
Amen. Hallelujah.
I'm happy to be a Christian.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Yesterday I was telling Maureen, I said, I'm happy, Maureen. I had just come out of spending my time with the Lord. And, you know, whenever you spend time with God, it's a wonderful time.
Amen.
He may break you down, but then he builds you up.
Amen.
You may have to go through pain, but there's always a reason for it.
Amen.
See, like I heard Tim talking about his son Nathan and you know why. See, we don't always know why, but we know God's in control.
Amen.
It's like Brother Branham talked about the man who wrote a book, and the book was called The Silent God, and the guy was criticizing Christianity, saying, "Where was the God through the Dark Ages?" You see, and Brother Branham said he was blind. See. Except a seed fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. He showed how the church, the true church, had to go through the dark ages, and then life came forth, see,
Amen.
To reproduce. See, so there's always a bigger picture. If you just take the one incident, or the one day, where thousands and millions were killed in the dark ages, that's not the whole picture. You got to look at the bigger picture.
Amen.
And a lot of times in our life, something bad happens, and we're just looking at that one incident, but there's something bigger going on. See, to me, the fact that Tim could come up here and talk about the love for his son and God's love, God expresses his love to us, and sometimes he shows us through our human interactions. You see? So there's something bigger going on, and the main thing is, do we trust him?
Amen.
I appreciate Tim saying, I trust him.
Amen.
Do we trust him, even though we don't understand? Look at the Holocaust. You know, there's no way you could look at it, the incidents there, the horrifying thing of what happened, and say that was a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
But Brother Branham, with the eagle eyesight looking big, he said that was the tender hand of Jehovah.
Amen.
Leading his children. See, what was God doing? He was allowing them to come back into the homeland to fulfill the promises of God.
Amen.
Now, we wouldn't call that a tender hand, see? But if you look at the bigger picture, that's what it was. God allowed those. He allows things in our life so that we can fulfill his purpose in our life.
Amen. Amen. That's good, bro.
All things work together for good. All things are not good. No. Some situations are not good. Incidents are not good. Getting a broken finger is not good. But all things are working together for good. And see, we need... You don't really need to have faith and trust him when things are going well when you're on the mountain. It's when things go wrong and things hurt, that's when you find out if you really believe him or not.
Amen.
Is he God or is he not God?
Amen.
Let's talk to him today.
Hallelujah.
Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, Lord, we're thankful, Lord, that we can call you Father. We're thankful, Lord, that you've revealed to us that you're a loving God. And Lord, even though bad things happen, we trust that you're in control, Lord. And Lord, I believe you're here today. I believe that where two or three are gathered together, there you are in the midst of them. And Lord, I believe you're here in our midst. And I, Lord, somehow I believe you're leading us. You're speaking to us. You're guiding us. And there will be a fulfillment of Scripture once again. Once again, there will be an outpouring. Once again,
Amen.
We'll be able to say, this is that which was promised.
Amen.
Lord, this day, this scripture is fulfilled. Lord, we believe that time's coming on the church, Lord. And the world may not understand, the denominational church world will not understand, but your bride, Lord, she'll see, Lord, and she'll understand. Help us, Lord, today. Lord, may we push aside all the cares of this life just for a moment. May we focus our attention on your word, O God. Lord, may you forgive us of our sins and where we've grieved you in any way. Wash us in the blood of Calvary. Fill us each one with the Holy Ghost. May your spirit have preeminence, O God. Take control of my being, my mind and my heart and my lips, my whole being, Lord. I give myself to you, Lord. I commit myself to you now. Take control of each and every one that's here today. Lord, may we have a revival today. May we be lifted up in the heavenly places. Grant it, O God. Save the lost. Heal the sick. Fill with the Holy Ghost. Deliver us, Lord, from all evil spirits. Fill us with your spirit. That's our desire, Lord. Bless the reading of your word now. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's turn in the Bibles today to Matthew chapter 6. And it is true that we didn't really finish last week. And then when I was praying again, oh my. Oh, praise God. Don't you love knowing that Jesus is God?
Amen.
He's not the second person. That's a false idea. He is the person.
Amen.
He's the one true God. Matthew chapter 6, verse 1. Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and that thy Father, which seeth in secret himself, shall reward thee openly. Amen. You may be seated. God bless you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
You know, when I was looking at last week and just how intense, you know, Maureen was talking about how it wasn't really a shouting kind of service, but it was like a sacredness.
Amen.
Focusing on the Word of God. It wasn't bad. I thought it was good. I thought people were really paying attention to the words of Jesus, and that's what we need to do.
Amen.
See, because sometimes I think all of us can admit we're guilty of reading through things, and we read the words, we might have heard the words, but we didn't absorb the true meaning of it, see? And so, listen, we're not in a quota-setting mood here. You know, we're not here to say, every day, you got to read so many, and then, you know, if you don't read so many, you're a bad person. No, that's not it at all. We want to absorb the Word because He is the Word. And He is the true meaning of that Word with the true spirit of that Word, and that's the bread of life. He said, unless you eat this bread and drink my blood, you have no life in you. What was he saying? Not that, listen, I believe it's okay to follow a pattern to help you get started in reading the Bible. And, you know, it surely should be part of our daily desire to feed on the Word of God.
Amen.
But let me say this. If you got a quota that you have to read every day, and that pressure's on you, my concern is that you're going to miss the meaning of it.
Amen.
Because your motives are to meet a quota more than to understand the meaning of it. Amen? Does that understand? See, we're all under time pressure, but listen, don't be under such a time pressure and a quota pressure that you don't absorb what the Word says.
Amen.
And I think last week we realized when we look at the words of Jesus that we've heard many times, if you take it slowly and you really look at what He's saying and say, wow, look at what He's saying.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
So that applies to the whole Scriptures. Brother Bram said, when you read the Bible, if you don't see Jesus Christ in every line, go back and read it again because you misunderstood it. Every word of the Bible?
Yes, sir.
See, it all points to Him.
Amen.
So it's my desire not to meet a quota, but to do the will of God.
Amen.
The will of God is, see, many will come to me in that day, have not I done this? Didn't I do this? Didn't I do that? Didn't I do many wonderful works? Didn't I prophesy? Didn't I cast out devils? Listen, it's not about what you do. It's about what He did for you. It's about what this Word really says to us. Help us, Lord.
Amen.
Again, what do we need to do? Come to Him with a humble heart. Come to Him with nothing in our arms we bring. Simply to the cross we cling. Come to Him and say, Lord, I have no abilities in myself. Lord, there's nothing good in me. Only what You do is good. But Lord, I need to hear from You. I need Your Word. I need You to speak to me. I need You to deliver me. I need You to help me and guide me. Listen, when you have decisions to make, do you pray? We should be praying.
Amen.
The Word of God says, if you acknowledge Him in all your
Amen.
He'll direct you. See?
Amen.
Acknowledge Him in all your ways, and He will direct your paths.
Amen.
If we don't acknowledge Him, we lose out on that influence of God to say, no, don't go this way. God, I want you to go this way. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So, amen. Well, so we started to look more closely at the words of Jesus, and I'd like to continue in that. He didn't teach like others, just to remember last week. He didn't teach like others. His teachings were not normal.
Yes, sir.
They weren't like other people. Remember the guards, and they said, why do you let him stand there? They said, never man spake like this man.
Amen.
The priests didn't get it, but the guards were saying, whoa, this is something different about this guy. He said things that were shocking, even radical.
Amen.
Radical. And people were not expecting to hear what he said, because no man in the flesh would want to do the things that Jesus said. What did he say? Love your enemies. Love your enemies? That's radical. Why would I love my enemies? They're against me. Right?
Amen.
Jesus said, love your enemies.
Hallelujah.
He said, but I say unto you, love your enemies. See, it's been said of old time, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, right?
Amen.
They could look back and say, that's the word. But he says, but I say unto you, the word made flesh says, love your enemies.
Amen.
He said, do good to them which hate you. Do you know anybody that hates you? You might not have anybody that hates you, right? But if somebody hates you, Jesus said, do good to them. Now I can find another scripture, you know, you got to be careful. He said, you know, if you do good to them that are against you, it's like heaping coals of fire on their head. So now you got to watch that, because that's a little bit of a, yeah, get them, Lord, you know. And I don't think that's the right motive, you know. So, but do good to them which hate you. Why would you bless those that curse you? Has anybody ever cursed you? You know, maybe there's that man driving down the highway and he's just out of his mind, and you're just doing your own thing. You're abiding the laws. Or maybe you didn't know you were doing something wrong, and some maniac is driving, and he gives you, you know, curses you. Well, do we bless him? Bless you. Or do we say, where's the police now? See, Jesus said, bless those that curse you.
Amen.
Do good to them that pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Despitefully use you and persecute you? You mean if someone's persecuting me, I should pray for them? That's what Jesus said. I want to be a Christian. I want to be a follower of Jesus. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments.
Amen.
He said, unless you take up your cross daily, you cannot be my disciple. Unless you hate father, mother, sister, brother, unless all that family relationships don't mean as much to me, then don't even start. That's pretty radical.
Amen.
How many still wants to be a Christian today?
Amen.
We got a few hands here. We got not everybody. Some people going, I don't know. Maybe I should start. You know, our God is a jealous God.
Amen.
And, you know, in this life, jealousy can be a really bad thing in this life, because jealousy can cause people to do things they wouldn't normally do, but that jealousy feeling make them do bad things. You know, they'll kill somebody or do whatever. But, you know, our God is a righteous God. Everything He does is holy and righteous.
Amen.
See, and He's jealous over us with a godly jealousy. He doesn't want us yielding to another spirit. He wants to be our husband. We are like a bride to Christ, see, and He doesn't want us flirting with some other evil spirit. He wants us dedicated to Him, see.
Amen.
So a Christian should want to keep your spirit right in the spirit of Christ. John was in the Spirit on the Lord's day.
Amen.
See, and Brother Branham said, you can't do anything until you get in the Spirit. And Brother Branham, he gave little nuggets of secrets in his life in the healing ministry. He said he would enter into the suffering of the person. Like if an old man came up in front of him, he would say, that could be my dad. See, so that helped him to enter in and have compassion on a person. He said, that's my secret. He said, I try to have compassion on people. If I can feel compassion, then I can help them. Amen. See, and you know yourself, if you don't feel compassion to others, you're not treating them the same way as if you did have compassion. And so I believe real compassion comes from that higher revelation understanding that if someone's treating you badly, it's not them, it's the devil.
Amen.
If someone's a murderer, a thief, or adulterer, and all those things, they got an evil spirit on them that's pushing them that way. See, and if they're delivered of those evil spirits and they receive the Holy Spirit, they're going to be loving and kind and sweet and gentle.
Amen.
And
Amen.
Patient and all those things that the Holy Spirit is.
Amen.
Don't you love the Holy Spirit?
Amen.
I want to yield to the Holy Spirit. I love what He can produce. Me, I don't like what I can produce, but I love what He... And when I see the Holy Spirit on somebody and they're yielding to it, that's a beautiful thing, isn't it?
Amen.
Man or woman, doesn't matter, child or elder person, when the Holy Spirit's there, it's loving, it's sweet, it's kind, it's not pretentious, it's not stuck up, it's just genuine.
Amen.
That's the Holy Ghost. And no matter what culture you're in around the world, yes. The Holy Ghost is the same everywhere.
Amen.
It produces Amen. The same thing.
Amen.
That's why we can have a bride of every nation, kindred, yes. tongue. You can go to any country. I have a privilege to go to a few. And everywhere you go, you meet religious spirits.
Amen.
But everywhere you go, you meet that Holy Spirit. And you can identify that sweet, loving, humble Holy Spirit.
Amen.
It's attractive to us, see? It's because, you know, the spirits come together. They find a oneness together. Just like evil spirits, they can find each other.
Right.
Brother Mike Seaver said, you know, at camp, he said, John, he said, I can't explain it. One bus would come on one side of the camp, another bus on the other side of the camp. And these little kids that had a problem, they were rascals a little bit. One would get off the bus and be walking around the camp. Another one get off another. They don't even know each other and they'd find each other. Like spirits, they just come together. And that's what happens with the Holy Spirit. When you, no matter where you go, that Holy Spirit, you find that Holy Spirit.
Amen.
It produces the same thing.
Amen.
One thing about the Holy Spirit, it won't disagree with the Word of God.
Amen.
It'll say amen to every word of God. Because He wrote the Word.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So, Jesus was not just another teacher. He was God manifest in flesh.
Amen.
And when we look at this, I want to take a look at this for a moment. I know we look at it a lot, but just to focus our minds now. Jesus did not live a selfish life.
Amen.
He didn't live a selfish life while on earth. Here, see, He gave His life for others. Now, think about that. Because who was He? He was God manifesting the life of God, eternal life, in flesh. The fullness of the Godhead bodily, that life manifested, was not selfish. It actually gave its life for others. He didn't look to this life as the end all. He didn't build up treasures here, did He? They said, we want to follow you. He said, foxes have dens, you know. I don't have any place to lay my head. You really want to follow me? See, He wasn't building a kingdom here. His kingdom was in the next life, see.
Amen.
Jesus' whole thing was about looking to the next life. He was manifesting life here, but looking to the next. See, He did not gather treasures. He did not live in pleasure, you know, satisfying the flesh man. So, when we read His words, it's obvious that He's calling us to that life. Now, He's not asking us to not have the Holy Ghost and live that life. Because you can't do that. He's asking us to receive His life and let Him live that life through us.
Amen.
There's a big difference. I think a lot of people don't have the Holy Ghost, and they try to live like they have the Holy Ghost, and there's the problem.
Amen.
There's where the problem is. He doesn't want us to live for this life alone. Now that is radical. If you're not a person of faith, if you're not born again, if you don't really, really, really believe there's a life beyond this life.
Amen.
See? I really think a lot of behaviors we see, whether in the world or in Christianity, are people living for this life.
Amen.
Amen. That's true, brother. Amen.
Even though they talk about the next, they're living for this one. But he wants us to live for the next life. And instead of living for this life, he asks us to sacrifice, to make sacrifices in this life for his sake, as followers of him, by faith, believing it's worth it. Even though in this life it doesn't look like it's worth it, but by faith you believe he sees everything. He saw that sacrifice that nobody sees, nobody knows about it but me, but he saw it.
Amen.
That is a manifestation of faith. Do you realize that? When you sacrifice to God and nobody sees it, no earthly human being, your family didn't see it, your friends didn't see it, your neighbors didn't see it, nobody saw it, but you committed to him because you believe he sees everything.
Hallelujah.
And you're content with that. I don't care if anybody sees it. God saw it.
Amen.
God saw it. See, that's real faith. Now you say, what does all that mean? Listen, it's a manifestation of faith. It's a beautiful thing when you consider the bigger picture.
Amen.
He tells us to count the cost before you want to be a Christian. Yes. He talks about building the tower. And you know, if you're not ready to build the whole tower, don't even start to build the tower. If you're not ready to do battle, if you don't think you're going to finish this battle, don't even start the battle.
Amen.
Right?
Amen. Hallelujah.
And there's really, like I said, there's only one way anyone could live like this. If they're truly born again.
Amen.
If they're filled with the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
You can't live the life of Christ without Christ living in you. That's the bottom line. And so, the literal life of God in you. That's why for me, now you can go to church and the preacher can beat you on the head and can put fear on you because you're not doing this or that. But listen, I'd rather, let's look in the mirror.
Amen.
Let's be honest with ourselves. Is Christ in there? Do I see the life of Christ being manifested? Or do I see some different kind of life? It might be religious, but listen, there's a lot of religious people in this world that do not have the Holy Ghost. God don't ask us to be religious. He said you must be born again.
Amen.
Of the Spirit of the living God.
Amen.
See, so the literal life of God lives in you, and that life quickens you, right? If the Spirit of him that raised up Christ from the dead dwell in you, it shall quicken your mortal body.
Amen.
Not just to be changed from this life to the next, but every day it'll quicken you.
Hallelujah.
Quickens you to the Word. It quickens you to act and live like Christ. If the Spirit of that raised up Christ from the dead dwell in you, it will quicken you.
Hallelujah.
Quickening power.
Amen.
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 Outside of that, all your deeds are just religious. And I say religious in not such a nice way. I grew up around religiousness. I grew up around Catholicism and nuns and priests and all this pretended religion. And I don't want nothing to do with it.
Amen.
If we can't have the real thing, I don't want nothing at all.
Amen.
Nothing at all. We're not here to play church. We're here to manifest Christ.
Hallelujah.
See?
Praise the living Lord. Amen.
So Jesus came. Now here's what I want to emphasize. He came and manifested eternal life.
Yes, sir. Amen.
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 He was not the second person.
Yes, sir.
He was the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Now listen, when you're talking to a Trinitarian and you say to them, he's not the second person, that's an attack against not just what that person believes, but against that Trinitarian spirit on them. So what you got to do when you're talking to a Trinitarian and you challenge that idea, he's not just the second person. You need to point them to the scriptures.
Amen. Yes,
sir. Say the Bible said he was the fullness of the Godhead bodily.
Amen.
That's more than the second person.
Hallelujah. Amen.
And then if God's working on their side, maybe he'll quicken to them the revelation of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So let's go to John chapter 1. I'm going to read something that we've already read many times, but again, you can't read the word enough. And so, John 1 and 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, what is a word? A word is a thought expressed, right?
Amen.
So in the beginning, there's God with all these thoughts. And how much time did he have to plan out this whole time existence? Because time is just a short period of eternity. It's just a testing ground for us. That's why you don't live for this life, because this is very short. Your time here, if you live to be 100, that's nothing compared to millions and billions and eons of years. See, so how much time did God have to think about all of time?
Amen.
He could have had, let's say he had millions of years.
Amen.
But let's say it was more than that. It was more than billions of years, more than trillions of years, more than zillions and zillions of years. He knows what he's doing. And Hallelujah. He saw the end from the beginning.
Hallelujah.
That's why we can have confidence in him. He's proved to us that he is eternal. He knows the end from the beginning. That's why we trust him even when things go wrong. He's God.
Amen.
In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah.
In him, verse 4, was life.
Amen.
And the life, eternal life, was the light of men. Now there's other kinds of life. There's temporary life, like the plant life. It's a temporary form of life, right? If it loses its life, it dies and withers, right? Now people have a form of life here that's not eternal life. They're born in sin, shaped in iniquity, come in the world speaking of lies, and anything born of sexual, that is a fallen state of man. And they have life, but it's not eternal life. That's why we must be born again.
Amen.
So that those that aren't born again, they'll have the second death. They'll die in natural, and then the second death is they will be no more.
Amen.
But eternal life, you can't die. See? It's eternal.
Amen.
First John 1:14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And look at this chapter now, this verse. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. What was that? That was the life of God. Jesus was the walking life of God. He was eternal life, the fullness of the Spirit of God walking on this earth.
Amen.
In other words, if you want to see what eternal life looks like, look at Jesus.
Amen.
That was the life.
Glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Praise.
Let's go to 1 John 1. You know, John was caught up. He had some revelation, didn't he?
Amen.
He was caught up. Oh, we need to get tapped in so we can have an understanding. That's why you pray and you humble yourself to God so he can speak to you. 1 John 1 and 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it. Look what he's saying.
Yes, sir.
The life, eternal life,
glory,
was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us. Let me stop there. See, in other words, we saw it. Eternal life came down amongst us. God condescended from his mighty high throne, and he robed himself as a kinsman redeemer, and he manifested eternal life.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
There's only one form of eternal life.
Amen.
There's only one. That's why Brother Branham taught us it cannot be an eternal hell. Now, that was a controversial teaching of Brother Branham. Some people don't accept that because the Bible says everlasting or everything's like that. He said, listen, and in his simplistic way, you can see it.
Amen.
There's only one form of eternal life. If hell is eternal, then they have eternal life in hell.
Yes, sir. That's right, brother.
But hell will be no more one day. Anything that has a beginning will have an ending, see?
Amen.
See, so we see that hell might be for millions and billions of years. We don't know how long it's going to be. It'll seem like it's forever and ever, but it's going to end one day. And those in there, the devil and his angels and all those that didn't receive eternal life, they're going to be no more one day. See, so there's only one form of eternal life.
Amen.
And, you know, that's the life of God. So the only way you and I can have eternal life is if we receive a portion of that life in us.
Amen.
We will not be the fullness of the Godhead bodily. There's only one, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The fullness of the Godhead bodily.
Yes, Lord.
We receive a portion of that Spirit. God's life is so unique. He's able to divide himself. On the day of Pentecost, he came back after that sacrifice on Calvary and he divided himself and tongues of fire hung over. God was dividing himself. Oh, Lord.
Hey.
He was dividing himself once again. See, dividing himself over. You know, he wants to give us a portion of his life.
Amen.
That's the only way we can be born again.
Amen.
See, that's why we must be born again. That's why we must be born again, so we can have eternal life, the life of Christ, God's own life within us.
Amen.
Now, I'd like to read a couple places Brother Branham talked about it, because I think Brother Branham, as a prophet, had some insight into this.
Amen.
And this is part of the message. Sean, eternal life.
Amen.
Now, follow along on the board here. A person who lives their life to their self, it lives a selfish life. We must live for others, bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. And we've got to have a feeling for one another. And therefore, when you do all that you know how to do, and then when you lay down at night, well, you have a consolation knowing you tried your best. I can't make everyone believe. That's impossible. Jesus couldn't do that. Think about that. Jesus didn't make everybody believe.
Yes.
How can we?
That's right.
Jesus couldn't do that when he was on earth. And I know there'll be just a few that believes. But if anything I can add to help the gospel, that's my duty being here, is to try to help somebody along the way. See, so anybody that's living a selfish life, that's not eternal life. It's a sign. Look at that day on Calvary. He was just one man, the perfect man. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
He gave his life and he made an example for you. Now, what must we do? Now, the first thing I want to say is Jesus never lived for himself. His life was spent for others. That's perfectly eternal life.
Amen. Amen.
When you say you go to church and you do good things, that's fine. But when you live your life to yourself, you haven't eternal life. Eternal life is living for others. It proved it when it come in the Lamb of God. He lived and had eternal life because he did not live for himself. He lived for others.
Amen.
And you receive eternal life by receiving that day at Calvary. And you don't live for yourself no more. You live for others. Someone said, how can you stand by and let anybody call you such bad names? you don't live for yourself. You live for others that you might redeem that man.
Amen.
You become sons. The trouble of it is the church has forgot that they were sons. You are sons. You are taking Christ's place. You are sons. So don't live for yourself. Live for others. Well, Brother Branham, I can live for this brother because he sure is a nice man. That's not it. Live for the man that hates you. Now, is that Brother Branham's unique teaching?
Amen.
He's preaching what Jesus taught us.
Amen.
That people don't do.
Right.
See? Live for the man that hates you. Live for that person who'd kill you if they could. That's what they done to him. They killed him and he died that he might save them. That's eternal life. When you get that in your, that's in your bosom, you're facing heaven then. But you sacrifice your own things. Give them up like sheep gives up its wool. You look towards Calvary. That's really deep. That's really deep. We need to look in the mirror. I need to look in the mirror.
Amen.
You need to look in the mirror.
Amen.
Is that how I live?
That's right.
Revelation chapter 5. A few days ago, I was sitting there talking to one of my loyal friend here in the city, Dr. Sam Adair. He said, "How you doing, Bill?" I said, "Oh, pretty fair, I suppose, Doc, and yourself?" He said, "Oh, a lot of patients." Said, "I had about 15 examinations this afternoon." I said, "Well, that's good as long as it's just examinations and finding nothing wrong." I said, "You know, we got talking about when we were boys." And I said, "Well, Doc, I don't know just how long I'm going to be around. We're both in our 50s. He said, "That's true, Bill." And I said, "But all these years, about 31 years of ministry now, I have kept my heart prepared for that hour when he comes, so it doesn't matter when he comes."
Amen.
So he said, "That is true." I said, "The greatest thrill I have is living for others." This Brother Bram.
Amen.
He said, "That's what life is."
Amen.
See, now he's a doctor, you know, and he was, I would say, what Brother Bram said about Sam Adair, he sounded like he was a good man.
Yeah.
And he was living for others, you know, a real good doctor, you know. He said, "That's what life is, makes life real, is when you, not what you can accomplish for yourself, but what you can do for others." See, that's when you're really living. And if there happens to be someone among us who has never did that, tried to live for somebody else, give that a try and just see how much more life holds for you when you will not live for what you can get yourself out of life, but what you can give someone else in life. And you'll find that it's more blessed than riches or anything that can be thought of is when you can do for someone else to make life's burdens, which life is a itself is a burden, and it will make it a little lighter for someone else. You just don't know the joy unless you've tried it once to do something for somebody else.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
Now, I know that's a lot of quotes from Brother Branham, but they're pretty powerful.
Amen.
I do believe Brother Branham was trying to live for other people.
Amen. Hallelujah.
You know, people that I met that would meet Brother Branham, and I don't want to just put emphasis on Brother Branham, but I'm talking about eternal life, life of Christ that's in us. And Brother Branham manifested Christ. And so people would meet Brother Branham, and he said he was always tired. Brother Green said, "Brother Perry, I'm so sorry to come to you so tired." But he was living for others. You know, a lot of times, you know, we're tired. We say, "Well, I'm not helping nobody. I'm going back to bed. I'm going to," you know, amen.
Amen.
Right? But, you know, when there's something in your life about living for others, when that's your purpose, see, then you go beyond just what the self wants. Right? Like you're standing there and you're waiting for a train and you know, you could talk to somebody or you could just keep to yourself, right?
Amen.
Say, "Well, I don't really want to talk to anybody." See, that's the self, see?
Mm-hmm.
But the Christ in you is like, you got something to share with everybody on this earth. Strike up a conversation. Talk about what they're interested in. And then God opens a door where you can talk about the gospel.
Amen.
See, so it's about getting beyond yourself.
Yes, sir.
Now, for some people, they're more shy than others. And I get it. You know, it's harder for you to reach out. But that thing bubble up inside you, man, how can you keep it down there?
Amen.
It's bubbling.
Praise
It's bubbling. It's bubbling in my soul. Oh, we got to move on. We're having too much fun. Let's go to Matthew 6, Sean. Matthew 6. We read this in the beginning, but it's worth reading again. Take heed that you do not your alms. Now, what's alms? Alms, I looked it up. It can be money or food or any donation given to the poor or needy. Anything given as charity. So when I think of alms, I think of, you know, like the beggars holding out his hand for alms. You know, you give him some money or something like that, right? Mm-hmm. And, right? But it could be anything that we do for somebody, right? Any charitable work that we do. Now watch. When you do your alms, do not your alms to be seen before men, to be seen of men.
Amen.
So don't do things to be seen of men. Let that sit in. Otherwise, you have your reward. When I do his alms, don't sound the trumpet as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and the streets,
Amen.
That they may have glory. So what is that talking about? So the Pharisee, just let's pick on the Pharisee because we can relate to that easier. And the Pharisee's there, you know, and he wants to make sure people see him giving to the poor. Right? So if the poor guy's there and it's just him and the Pharisee, he's looking around, I need somebody to see this. And everybody looks his way and then he goes, here you go. Oh, you were looking at me? To receive glory from men. God says, hypocrites. That's hypocritical. To be seen as doing good. Listen, I don't care what good you're doing. People do things and they want other people to see them. You know, like, oh, I'm reading my Bible. You caught me reading my Bible. I'm so spiritual, ain't I? People do things to be seen of men.
That is so true.
Amen.
So true, brother. Amen.
That is true.
I remember visiting somebody in a hospital and they said, oh, I'm reading my Bible. I guess that looks good for me. You know, like you caught me reading my Bible.
Mm.
Why, is that a rare thing? Did I catch you? Here's the point Jesus is making. Do not do anything to be seen of men.
Amen.
There's a theme from last week to this week. It's about faith.
Amen.
It's about knowing that God sees everything, even if nobody sees it.
Amen.
Nobody. And really, he's the only one that needs to see it. Nobody else needs to see when you do good.
Amen.
If you're going to give to the poor, don't let anybody see it. That's what the Bible says. That's what Jesus says. Take heed, do not your alms before men to be seen of them. You have your reward. Don't be like the hypocrites. Verily I say unto you, but when you do his alms, let not thy left hand know what the right hand's doing. Now what's that saying?
Amen.
Let not thy left hand know what thy right hand's doing. So the left hand, maybe the right hand's in the front, and the left hand's giving something back here. The right hand couldn't see it. What's that mean? It was in secret.
Amen. Amen.
Amen,
bro.
True.
That's parts of the body. Christ has a body.
Amen.
Let not the left hand... Listen, we do things as a church you don't know nothing about. Let not the left hand know what the right hand's
Amen.
Doing.
Amen.
It's not my job to tell you everything that we've done as a church.
Amen.
But God sees everything.
Amen.
Amen.
He's got his own accountant,
good
right?
Amen.
I believe in doing good for others. I believe in being generous.
Give God the glory.
But you don't do it to be seen of men.
That's right. Amen.
Do it quietly, in secret.
Amen.
Let not your left hand know what your right hand's doing.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
That thine alms may be in secret, and the Father... Thy Father, now notice how this words this, thy Father which seeth in secret, himself shall reward thee openly.
Amen.
He's going to make sure. You can't do nothing but what God sees it. Yes, that has to do with the bad, but it also has to do with the good. And you can't outgive your God.
Amen.
He will not permit it.
Amen.
If you give your time, he's going to give you time back.
Hallelujah. Amen.
It applies to everything you do for God. You can't make a sacrifice to God without getting abundantly blessed by God. Now, you may not directly associate the things together, but listen, God is God.
Amen.
Amen. Have you proven him?
Amen.
Have you proven this God? I'll tell you, you can't outgive God. Let me share one thing with you. And okay, if I don't get any reward for it, I'm not looking for a reward. But one time, there was a minister, just to show you God and how he's proven to me. There was a minister that was in a jam, and really, he was handling two churches. I gave him $5,000. That week, $5,000 appeared in our church account by somebody who pressured me and pressured me and pressured me to give them counts so they could donate to the church. How does that happen?
Amen.
Listen, God is God. He will not permit you to outgive him.
Amen.
Amen. That's good, Brother Tom.
Actually, he's going to give you much more than you gave.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Praise
That's a revelation.
Amen.
You know, so when people, you know, I don't beat on tithing and everything, but listen, if you had a revelation of it, you'd give a lot more than 10%.
Hallelujah. Praise
That's the best investment you ever made.
Amen.
You're not going to get that much back from the world. I know a church out in Ohio where when they started, the pastor and his four brothers many years ago, Brother DeHart, he challenged the brothers. He said, listen, we're just starting out. Let's do 10% tithes and 10% offering. And they did it. And every one of those brothers was blessed in their business beyond what you could imagine. And the whole church family practiced it. It passes on to the kids. And they proved it.
Amen.
You can't outgive God.
Amen.
Now, that's just the money side, which we can relate to. But that applies to the spiritual side.
Amen.
If you give of your time, if you sacrifice to God, he will bless you.
Amen. Hallelujah.
You'll have treasures stored up in heaven that moth can't corrupt. You, no thief can steal.
That's right.
Amen.
Do you believe that?
Amen.
See, because when you really believe it, your actions show that you believe
Amen.
It.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Praise
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Oh, I'm a little too happy today.
Amen.
Praise
Amen.
The Lord. Thank you,
Amen.
Jesus.
Amen. Glory.
Let not your left hand know what your right hand's doing.
Praise the living Lord. Hallelujah.
Jesus wants you to believe in the unseen. He wants you to act and manifest faith in the unseen. The unseen God and the unseen promises, you know, to believe that there's a Father in heaven that can see everything in secret. Do you believe that?
Amen.
He wants us to really believe that and live like that. There's an all-knowing God, a wonderful, powerful God. He sees everything we do, and even when no one else can see it. So don't be down if you're suffering for the sake of God. And nobody knows about it. God knows about it.
Amen.
God knows about it. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Once again, it points to faith and trust in another life. Not living for the praise of men, but living for God above to please him alone. Pleasing God. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Let's go to verse 5. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. We see the theme, right? Verily I say unto you, they have the reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. See, Jesus called them hypocrites because they love to pray in the synagogues and the streets. They like people to see them praying. You know, why is it that, and this is going to be contrary to what most people think, but, you know, when you're in public and you pray over your food, do you pray for the people around you watching you?
Mm-hmm.
When I pray for my food, I want God to bless my food.
Amen.
Because I don't have a real lot of confidence in food, right? I want him to bless my food because I'm worried there's a little something wrong down there.
Amen.
Right? But some people pray to be seen of others. And people judge others. I heard one guy say, well, I was sitting there and there's a guy sitting there and I saw him pray. So he's a Christian. That don't mean you're a Christian. Where does praying over your food mean you're a Christian?
Amen.
They're praying in public. God said pray in private.
Amen.
Now, I believe in praying for your food. I'm not saying that.
Amen.
But let's just turn it on its head. He never said you had to pray in public. He said you need to pray in private. He said pray in secret.
Amen.
Listen, in all things we do, we give thanks. Everything that if we get food, we thank God for our food.
Amen.
And I believe in praying for our food. Listen, and I do in public pray over my food. But that don't mean you're a Christian.
Yes, sir.
The real prayer is private prayer.
Hallelujah. Amen.
When nobody sees you praying.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Nobody knows you've been praying.
Amen.
You know the only way they might know? You've been in there long enough. You broke through far enough. There's incense on you when you come out.
Amen. Hallelujah.
You're like, wow. Something different about this person. Not because they saw you praying, but they saw the effects of you praying.
Amen.
In your life.
Amen.
Wow, there's a sweet spirit on that person. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Don't pray for others. You know, we all know, you know, we've seen it, you know. People that come to church and they pray, they're there after church praying the longest. To be seen of men.
Amen.
Hypocrites.
Amen.
And the life proves it out.
That's true.
Amen.
What happened to all those long prayers? Didn't do much good.
That is right.
Help us, Lord.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
You don't want to pray so people think you're spiritual. Let's go to verse 7. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. You know, this scripture always makes me think of the rosary, because I used to make rosary beads as a kid. How many made rosary beads? Catholic people, you know, we were in Catholic school, you make rosary beads, you had to count how many, you know, Hail Marys, and then the little Our Father in there, and then the little string with the cross at the end, you got a couple other things there. And we pray, you know, how many's ever prayed the rosary? Some of you. Hail Mary, full grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, blessed fruit of thy spirit. Holy Mary, Mother God, pray for sinners now at the word of thy Amen. That's number one. Then you go to the next speed. Hail Mary, full grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art. Vain repetitions.
Amen.
It's paganism.
Amen.
There's nothing heartfelt about it. Even when they get to the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Blessed be thy name.
Amen.
There's nothing to it.
Amen.
Vain. What did Jesus say? They think they shall be heard for their much speaking. That is so true. They taught us a novena. If you say the rosary every Friday for a certain part of the year, then when you get to your death, you get what you want. Or something like that. Some crazy promise like that. It's a lie of the devil.
Amen.
All the novenas that went up, you get nothing for that. Vain repetition.
Amen.
What is God looking for? Oh, God, help us to see it.
Hallelujah.
People, if the motive is that they pray for a long time or they pray much words, that's not it. God wants us to know and understand He already knows what we have need of.
Amen.
He already... When you went down to pray because you have a need... Do you think He doesn't know?
Amen.
If you got a list of 20 things you're ready to read out to God, He saw that list before you were born.
Amen.
What are we doing?
Help us, Lord.
Amen. Are we wasting time? Listen, if it helps you, you say what you got to say to God. But it's not about that. It's about connecting with God. It's about being sincere when you pray.
Amen.
It's about being heartfelt.
Amen.
when you pray. You know, what did Brother Branham exalt? He said there was a little boy praying. He's going, A, B, C, D. And the man said, what are you doing? Like, that's dumb. He said, well, I don't really know how to pray, so I figured if I just say all the letters, God will put it together and he'll understand what I mean.
Amen.
That's faith.
Amen.
God had more respect to that prayer than all the long-winded prayers.
Amen.
All the novenas and all that nonsense.
Good,
he's looking to our hearts.
Amen.
He's looking to our hearts. He's looking. A broken and a contrite heart thou wilt not despise. Mm. The sacrifices, God, are a broken spirit. Listen, all that Catholicism, I had enough of the cold formal religion. When we come to God, you come with an open heart.
Amen.
Just let him look inside.
Hallelujah.
Give him time to do inspection. Sometimes it hurts when God starts to speak to you in prayer. But that's when you're really seeing what's inside.
Amen.
He's leading us. It's the grace of God that leads us to repentance.
Amen.
See? Prayer's not about getting what you want. It's about getting out of the way.
Amen.
So God can get what he wants.
Hallelujah.
A sincere heart, not long-winded prayers. Verse 9, after this manner, therefore, when you pray, our Father, which art in heaven. Look, relationship, Father, who art in heaven. I think this is a good pattern for prayer that he gives us.
Amen.
Not that you say it mindlessly, but that you truly meditate on the different parts. Luther was a man of prayer, and he would take the Our Father and break it down into parts, and he'd meditate on each part. And then Luther would say, listen, while you're praying, and you have a format that you want to follow, he would read Psalms, he would sing songs, he would get in the Spirit, he would pray the Our Father in different parts, he would say the Ten Commandments. But then Luther had enough spiritual wisdom to say, if during any part, let's just say you take the Lord's Prayer and you break it into parts, and you're meditating on each part. If during one of those parts you get an abundance of thoughts, he said, abandon all form. Abandon all your plans. Yield to those thoughts. He said, the Holy Spirit preaches here.
Hallelujah.
That's good.
Amen.
See, that happens in prayer. So in other words, we do our part. We might sing a song to get in the Spirit. We might read a psalm or some scripture. We might be going through the Lord's Prayer. Whatever it is. But then when abundance of thoughts. Have you ever had the Holy Spirit preach to you?
Amen.
He's the best preacher in the world. He speaks truth.
Amen.
He speaks truth to us. Sometimes it's cutting, but there's always a healing salve with it.
Amen.
He points us in the right way.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
A simple way to pray. Brother Luther talked about that.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Worship the Lord. Let thy kingdom come. Is that our desire?
Amen.
That he set up his kingdom on earth? Yes. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. You know, when I think about that, I think, Lord, thy will in heaven, it just happens. He says it's done. But here his word comes, and it's not always done, right? But in our life, may thy will be done as it is in heaven.
Amen.
May it just be automatic that I obey.
Amen.
And do what you want. Thy will be done, see? Give us this day our daily bread. You know, I have a problem. The only problem I have with that part is I always want to say please. Because I got a problem saying, give me to God. Now, is that adding to the word?
Yes, it is.
I still say please. And I think he understands why. Because he's not my lucky boy.
That's right. Amen.
He's my God. He's my Lord. He's my Savior.
Hallelujah.
Please give us today the daily bread, right? I know we try to cut carbs, but bread, you know, it's in the scriptures. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. You know, one of the other verses says, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin, transgress against us. Listen, everywhere in Jesus' teachings, when we ask for forgiveness, it's based on forgiving others. Everywhere. Everywhere. You cannot separate the two. You can't ask God for forgiveness and then not forgive others.
Amen.
That doesn't work with God. That's a lack of revelation. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Yes. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And notice what he says. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Forgiveness is conditional based on what you do to others. That is scriptural. We ought to be the most forgivenest kind of people in the whole world.
Amen.
We ought to be the most merciful people in the world. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Right?
Amen.
Is that a revelation to us? Now look in the mirror. Is that how you live? Do you forgive everybody? Or do you really expect God to forgive you while you hold a grudge over here? It's not going to work. Doesn't work.
Amen. Amen.
Praise the Lord. He gives us a pattern anyway. Forgiveness. Verse 16. Moreover, when ye fast, be not as hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head, wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee open. See, again, never to be seen of men. If you're going to make that sacrifice of fasting, you know, I have you ever met people that said, I've been fasting for a few days, I'm like, I just kind of roll my eyes going, oops, didn't do no good. I don't tell them that. When they're like, yeah, I've been fasting, you know, I've been fasting for the Lord. Aren't I spiritual?
Amen.
I'm like, that's so dumb. You could have been eating because you got nothing out of that. Because you just told me.
That's true, brother. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Anything you do for God, do it in secret. Make sure nobody knows you're fasting. Not your family, not your friends. You go out with somebody and they're like, oh, are you eating today? No, I'm fasting. Oh, just blew it right there. No, I can have something later, you know. You could say something where they don't know you're fasting, right? But people want people to know because they want to think, oh, I have to tell them I'm fasting now because I'm not eating. So I got to tell them I'm fasting. And you know, they're going to think I'm pretty spiritual because I'm fasting.
Amen.
It's so carnal.
Amen.
But are we carnal?
Yes.
Do we do things to be seen of men?
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Can we keep going?
Amen.
I don't want to go to part three. I don't know if we can take it. All right, let's see. Now, verse 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth doth or rust doth corrupt, neither where thieves do not break through or steal, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. If we lay up treasures on earth, our heart's here. Jesus obviously doesn't want us to do that. Lay up treasures in heaven. Like we always talk about the guy, he loves his car. He polishes his car, rushes his car. I hate to pick on Bob Townsend, but he was like really particular about his car. And Brother Sal went in and started jumping up and down the back of his car. I thought I was going to witness a murder. See, but look, if that's your treasure, and one little snot-nosed teenage kid who doesn't know any better gets a key and he just rides right down the side of your car, he just stole your treasure. He just ruined your day. He just made you miserable. Don't have treasures here. Treasures up there.
Amen.
Nobody can take treasures in heaven. They can't touch that. Where your treasure is, there your heart is also. What is it that we labor for here? Where is our treasures, really? Praise the Lord.
Amen.
He wants us to believe. He wants us to trust that anything we do to sacrifice for Him is seen by Him, and that we will be rewarded when we live for Him. Do we believe? Verse 22. The light of the body is the eye. Therefore, if the eye be single, the whole body is full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is the darkness? What's inside of us? Is it light or is it darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either will hate the one or love the other, or else will hold to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You can't have it both ways. We need to choose. Who are we going to serve? Will it be riches and pleasures of this life that we're going to chase? Or are we going to chase God? Are we going to seek God? We got to choose. You can't have both. See? Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air. He's saying, look at the fowls of the air. For they sow not, neither do they reap, neither do they nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Now notice the birds. They do fly, and they find food here and there. They actually do things. But God feeds the birds.
Amen.
They're not farmers. They don't plant seed and then sow and everything like that. They just go around, and God's saying, aren't you better than the birds?
Amen.
Don't you trust me?
Amen.
Is what he's saying? Take no thought for your life.
Amen.
Why do people worry about those things? Verse 27. Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit to his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, and they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which is today and tomorrow is cast in the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? See, it's about faith and trust in God. Do we trust him? Verse 31. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or where shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. God knows what we need. Do we understand? Do you understand God knows about what you need? He's talking down where we live. Clothes and food and shelter. The whole world, without God, worries about those things all the time. But should we? Listen, I'm not saying you don't sit at home and do nothing. Do all you can, but trust God.
Amen.
Believe God. See? Verse 30, but seek ye first. See, so there it's ridiculous to say I have no time to pray. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Jesus is not a liar.
Amen.
Jesus cannot lie. That's the one thing he can't do. He is not lying to us. If we seek first the kingdom of God, all these other things that everybody's chasing will be added unto you.
Amen.
You believe it?
Amen.
Do we live like we believe it? Therefore, take no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. How often do we spend time thinking about the future and worrying about it, fussing and stewing? That's unbelief. I'm sorry. Fear and doubt is not of God. Faith and love, they're of God. If we believe what Jesus said, we can trust him and have faith in him. If we don't believe what he said and we have faith, we don't have faith and we have doubt, what is it? What spirit are we yielding to? Praise the Lord.
Amen.
See, we need to prove him. You've got to prove him in your life, and then you have confidence. You need to step on the word of God and believe that it's going to hold you up. And you watch what he does when you really trust him. Worrying, doubt, and fear, it's not of God. See, it's not talking about thinking about what you have to do tomorrow, like the daily things. It's talking about worrying about the future. How am I going to? Oh, no. That's not right. That's not what Jesus taught us to do. That's not trusting in Jesus. Are you a believer or not?
Amen.
These signs shall follow them that believe.
Amen.
And these promises are kept to those who believe. We've got to stand our ground. Praise the Lord. Jesus wants us to trust him and believe that he sees everything and that he's going to care for us. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I think I'm going to stop there. You know, it's about the grace of God, isn't it?
Amen.
We don't overcome because of our works. We don't overcome because we're clever. We overcome because of the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Let's all stand. Praise the Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Thank you for bearing with me. Amen. Let's bow our heads.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, thank you for your word, O God. More than that, we thank you for faith that believes your word. Because we know that you give us faith. It's you in us believing your own word. Lord, help us to get out of the way that faith can manifest, that faith can be expressed by our actions, that our actions will demonstrate that we fully trust and we fully believe in your word, and we don't have any doubt that you'll keep your promises to us. Bless your people, Lord. Lord, this is a challenge to us. It's challenging us to look in the mirror and see what kind of life is in us. Is it eternal life? Lord, fill us with your Spirit. Save us, O God. Deliver us from all evil. Forgive us where we failed you or grieved you in any way. Lord, give us an opportunity to start again. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
You know, that's the one thing I love about God is, you know, we can, like Amos was saying when he was going to sing there, that, you know, sometimes you can lose your first love. But when you come to yourself, you can start again.
Amen.
That's the one thing about the Lord Jesus is he doesn't throw us away. If we can repent, we can really repent of our sins and we can be honest with ourselves and we can let the Holy Spirit have its way, we could start again.
Amen.
And actually, I think that's part of the plan.
Yes.
Because didn't Jesus say that in John chapter 15 about the branch and then it like gets pruned, you know, and it takes all the way and then it bears fruit again.
Yes.
But there's times in our life where he just takes everything away.
Amen.
And we're like, I feel bare. I'm not bearing any fruit. Well, it's time to start again.
Amen.
Start again.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise
Amen.
The Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Living by faith.
Amen.
In Jesus above. Trusting,
Amen.
Confiding
Amen.
In his great love. I care not today what tomorrow may bring. If shadow or sunshine or rain or rain, the Lord I know ruleth for everything, and all of my worry is vain. Oh, we're living by faith in Jesus above, in Jesus above. I'm trusting, confiding in his great love, in his great love. From all harm safe, in a sheltering arm, I'm living by faith, and I feel no alarm. tempest may blow, the storm clouds awry, obscuring the brightness of God. Yes, sir. I'm never alarmed at the overcast skies. The Master looks on at the strife, because we're living by faith. In Jesus above, in Jesus above, I'm trusting, confiding in His great love, in His great love, from all harm saved, in His sheltering arm, I'm living by faith, and I feel no alarm. I know, yes, I know that He, safely will carry me through, no matter what evils betide. Why should I then care, though tempests may blow, if Jesus walks close to my side? Oh, we're living by faith, in Jesus above, in Jesus above,
I'm trusting,
confiding in His great love, in His great love, from all harm saved, in His sheltering arm, living by faith, and I feel no alarm. Our Lord will return to this earth some sweet day. Our troubles will then all be o'er. The Master so gently lead us away beyond that blessed heavenly shore. Oh, we're living by faith in Jesus above. Trusting, confiding in His great love, in His great love.